Yo,
We did it. We
we
did.
iTunes now.
We
We
landed
did
on the
it.
moon.
We've
Fuckbook
done
Bunker.
it.
We did it.
Started at the bottom. Now we're here.
Too soon, bro. Too soon.
Oh, does it?
Nobody likes Drake but me anyway, so.
But Drake's a Kentucky fan. I can like Drake, right?
Oh, now I don't like him even less.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Team Rocket Podcast. I'm Jesse, this is James, and we would like to welcome you to our very first edition that we're recording now that we are on iTunes. We are now on iTunes. We've done it.
Oh, okay, I'm back.
You
I'm
all right
sorry.
there?
I'm so sorry. If I die, just wish me back with the Dragon Balls.
I'll gather all seven of them. I'll wish you back. I'll make sure I wish you back with a power level over 9,000.
Yeah, I need to kill Nappa. Fuck Nappa. By the way, I'm really sorry because, the whole mature content thing. Yeah, as always.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Actually, but now that we're on iTunes, it actually does tell you that we have the little explicit tag indicating that there may be explicit content during the course of this podcast.
Yep.
So if you are under the age of 17 and you're listening to this podcast, please seek parents' permission or seek out a more family-friendly podcast.
Or just be like, YOLO, I'm an adult. I do what I want.
Exactly. Whatever, whatever. I do what I want.
Yeah.
I do what I want.
Thank you guys for listening to us consistently.
I had sex with 10 guys and I had 20 abortions. I do what I want.
It's my body, Mom. But yeah, but for real, thank you guys for listening and getting us here. I promise we will not drop the ball. Unless we drop the ball, in which case it's Jesse's fault. It's possible.
I was gonna say, man, I've already been through puberty. I've dropped them both.
Oh, snap. You said something funny for a second time, Master Splinter. Holy shit. Woo! The blind squirrel finds a nut, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, a broken clock is right twice a day.
When I was younger, I used to get really confused about that. And I used to argue that it didn't until I was like, man, I'm just dumb as hell. I'm so dumb. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. Tell your friends that play games. Tell your friends that have kids that play games that are old enough. To tell everybody. More listeners. We need them.
Yep.
For reals.
Also, before we go any further, how
Oh,
about
yeah, Mad Cats, bruh. For real.
oh, Mad Cats. Mark Man, hook me up. Hook me up, Mark Man.
Man, like, I was hitting you guys up on Twitter, and I still don't have a keyboard or, like, a fight stick or anything. I mean, come on, man. Come
Look,
on.
man. Look, I'm going to Evo. I need a PS4 fight stick. Hook me up, Mark Man.
Yeah, come on, bruh.
With that being said, I would like to give also in a completely unrelated list of shout-outs before we get into the meat of this episode.
Urgency.
Shout outs to the entire Baomong server on Final Fantasy XIV. Love you guys. You guys are the greatest, especially those of you who happen to live in Mist Ward 2. You all are especially great.
Fuck does that even mean?
Doesn't matter what the fuck it means.
Yes, it does. Anyway, oh yeah. And shout outs to like all the competitive game scenes where the main top tier players aren't douchebags.
Exactly, and actually, that is our main topic for today, competitive gaming. At the time, James and I, we were trying to figure out a topic to discuss. We'd usually spend a few days trying to figure this out, what's popping up in the news in video games, what's worth discussing. And what sparked this was an article that popped up on Yahoo's front page. Matt Nadeshot Hogg, professional Call of Duty player, a part of Optic Gaming, stepped down from being captain of the Call of Duty team, citing various issues among just the main prevalent one. He said that he was not really playing so much to win as it was not to lose. The passion wasn't there as it should have been. He's had other burgeoning interests come up in his life, and he mentioned having as well a full-time job that was requiring his attention.
Yeah. And we're trying to do things the other way around. How crazy is that?
Yeah, really. What inevitably sparked this topic, though, for us, professional gaming has started to make a huge forefront in the last few years, where this is becoming a very viable medium for people to make money. Now, you've had early pioneers in gaming, such as, I want to say, Jonathan Fatality Wendell. I'm actually going to Google that. I want to make sure that's the right name, because how dare I be incorrect?
How do you not have the notes up to begin with?
Yeah,
Fail.
I know.
Also, this is a lesson in professional, like, journalism, I guess?
Yep,
Professional
Jonathan
stuff?
Wendell did it. Yes, I was right.
Fact check before you start talking.
Yes.
Just a heads up.
No, Fatality Wendell was once considered to be one of the best professional gamers in the world, and actually one of the earliest pioneers in it. Made his bones, I believe, playing Quake. Now, since then, we have, you know, moved on. You know, League of Legends is especially in the forefront nowadays. You have Dota 2, which has had huge cash prizes. Counter-Strike has been around forever and a day.
Yeah.
And there is our personal favorite, the fighting games out there, Street Fighter, which has had a prominent showing within the Evo circuit.
Blaze Blue, Guilty Gear, all that craziness.
Mortal Kombat at MLG, yeah. Killer Instinct, Marvel versus Capcom 3, the list
That's
goes
not
on.
A game.
But the list does go on.
I mean, it really is like, there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on with those games, especially because, like, again, one of my favorite competitive games too is like Pokemon. The whole fans more or less brought the competitive part of it to the forefront, because like a lot of the games are multiplayer, you can play with another person, but there's no concept of tiering and who's better than who, other than like fan favorites basically, or little stuff you glean from playing against a computer, like, oh, this person does this, this person takes X damage, this person takes Y damage, this person is better. And like a lot of the stuff in some of the competitive things, again, with tiering or what's banned and what you can use, is all player based. It's all literally just user generated content, where instead of making a new game, you make the game your own or for your friends, and it just spreads like wildfire on who does what. And I really like that aspect of the community, but in some of the games it can be hard to get into, just because the community usually is not an open door.
No, and a lot of these communities aren't. They're, for casual level interest, you're going to be, most people will be fine, but it's, the biggest jump is when you start upping your game to that pro level, and a lot of people, that jump never happens.
Yeah.
One thing we wanted to look into is actually, what does it take to become a professional gamer? The time, the interest, honestly, the dedication. There was a time, certainly when you and I were both kids, where, you know, video games were just looked at as a goofy hobby, you know.
Yeah.
We'd have our parents screaming at us, play outside, you know, go play hide and seek, go do something other than sit in your room all day and play video games. No one ever thought about this stuff as a viable occupation, certainly.
Now it's there.
Right? Yeah.
It's still close enough to the ground floor that if you have any charisma or you're any good at the games, you can jump into the community and somehow start building your way up from the bottom. You should do it.
Yeah. I mean, that also makes you wonder, how much time do you have to put into it? And I think a lot of people, for example, are willing to look at video games and say that, oh, well, it's just sitting down, you're playing your game, anyone can do this. The truth is, this is like the concept of esports being a big example here. This is like, you have to really sit down and dedicate yourself. You have to spend hours and hours playing, honing your skill, getting your timing down, learning maps, learning characters, depending on whether certain games, such as League of Legends, where that is important, understanding the meta. In cases of fighting games, you know, understanding character matchups, strengths, weaknesses. You know,
refresh screens, recovery rates, recovery screens. Yeah, it's
frames.
Yeah,
it's the kind of thing where you look at pro athletes, like football players, basketball players. You know, pick your occupation, where they dedicate hours a day to their craft, constantly doing the same thing over, repetition, improving themselves, making boatloads of money doing it. And now you have gamers doing the same thing, you know, putting in that same form of dedication day in and day out. Now it's no longer just about playing the game, but this is about, you know, there's money to be made here. I mean, if you look at things like MLG, for example, or, you know, Riot's big League of Legends World Championships, to show you how far competitive gaming is coming, or has come, rather, a couple of years back, I want to say League of Legends had their world tournament. It was held at the Staples Center.
No,
what is that, though? What does that seat, like 20,000 people easily?
About 20,000, yeah.
I mean, off the wall guess there.
No, because this is just complete nerdiness and just the fact that I pay way too much attention. If you actually use seats on the floor, like the actual floor, I think it seats like over 20,000 people. But then you have to like add in the stage and all that other goofy stuff. So it's about 20,000.
I mean, there was a time where you would be lucky to make a couple hundred bucks off a tournament like that. Now, these are cash prizes going for six figures easily. And these aren't just single player concepts. These are team based concepts. So forget on top of everything else, now it's also learning stuff like team synergy, you know, chemistry with other players, the same stuff that you would see on an athletic team. Like, you hear about all the drama, say, with the Cleveland Cavaliers, with LeBron James and Kevin Love, as an example. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, just complete and total chaos. Like, I'm the team leader. No, I'm the team leader. No.
I mean, and now you have issues like that as well. And it just, it makes me wonder, you know, how far competitive gaming is coming, but at this, or has come. But at the same time, you have a pioneer like Nate Schott, who has admitted that, you know, the interest isn't there. It's not where it used to be. You know, there's other stuff he wants to do. He wants to do streaming. You know, he wants to film more videos. You know, he wants to embrace a more, a higher viewer base. And certainly we can get into how lucrative that can be, depending on how you want to go with it.
Yeah, that's another discussion for another day, though.
But what got me was the whole saying that he was working a full-time job. Now, I don't know what the guy's doing. I have no idea.
And certainly
you and I, we're sitting here, we're discussing professional gaming, but it's not like we're professional journalists in any sense. This podcast is a labor of love. We're not making money off this. If someone wants to donate us cash or give us cool stuff, look, we're not going to refuse it. We've said that before. We'll happily sell out.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is us doing it because we want to. We work jobs. We, you know, this is not our occupation.
Yeah.
You
but
have...
this is kind of the era where, like, again, if you can do it, do it. Anything can become a viable job. Like, again, there's people. I remember the first time I heard of a podcast, my uncle's like, there's just some nerds in the basement. Now podcasts and like digital radio stations and stuff like are more or less taken over.
Yeah.
So again, like, it just takes effort.
But getting back on track with it for a minute.
Yeah.
You have someone who is prominent in their community who has, you know, been around their game scene competitively for some time now. And they're still working a full-time job to be able to make ends meet, even though they're doing this competitively on a regular basis, competing at MLG, where there's, depending on the situation, maybe $2,000 to $5,000 on the line. Obviously, I have not been to an MLG tournament if ever. It's, I'm guessing this is hearsay, so take it for what it's worth. But it's, even though we're seeing how far competitive gaming has come versus where it started, it's one of those things, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah. And it also goes to show that if you really want to make loads of money off of gaming, you probably, number one, do have to embrace other mediums. You also probably have to be at the top of your field.
Pretty close.
Like...
or, like, it's weird because I've seen other people who started out as, like, slightly above average players who get in with a group of people who are better than they are, and that drive helps them become even better. It becomes better players to the point that they can get to the toppy tier stuff.
Yeah, but I mean...
I'm not bad.
You go. Oh, you're fine. What I'm getting at, the top tier players in each of their fields, like, again, like any sport, you know, the people who are making the real money on the professional level are the best at the best of what they're doing. You know, like I said, basketball, you have your LeBrons, your Kobe's, you know, football, wow. Wow. Also, I'd like to say, on an unrelated note, shout outs to Bell's Special Double Cream Stout, brewed in Comstock, Michigan.
Slurred great stuff. Just from Michigan to Kentucky.
Great stuff here. You know, in football, you have your Mannings, your Brady's. Fucking, let's be fair, to undermine everything I just said here for a minute, Andy Dalton is making $100 million with the Bengals to basically be the benchmark to whether or not you have a passable pro quarterback.
That's sad. That's like what, beyond sad.
I want to know how Andy Dalton is marketing himself to be worth that much money. Genuinely, that's an honest question, but if you want to...
He's a ginger. Maybe he's using that.
Oh, my God. We're sorry to all the gingers out there, really.
All 10 of them.
All maybe
two
one
souls
of them.
Between them.
It's a fifth of a soul for every ginger.
More or less, something like that.
But actually...
at work one day.
But actually, now that I think about it, maybe that... I'm starting to think, for video games, that's where the money is. If you go on Twitch, you see people... The biggest people who are getting like a lot of the money aren't always the best at what they're doing. It's the ones who are constantly streaming. They're constantly putting out content. They're constantly putting out a persona for everyone to see.
Yeah, kind
of. You know, they're...
I get exactly what you're saying, though.
They're engaging their viewer base, and, you know, for what it's worth, I don't know what Nade Shot's going to do. I don't follow Call of Duty. I don't... I'm terrible at shooters. So, full disclosure for everyone out there, you will probably never see me play Call of Duty, if ever. Dynasty Warriors, Dynasty obviously. Warriors. Competitive Dynasty Warriors.
Dude, they had competitive Dynasty Warriors. I would play the shit out of that.
Yeah, really. No, the only shooter I've gotten into on console has been Destiny, which, it plays solid. It was a letdown, but it plays solid enough.
Yeah, I'd say Call of Duty. Oh, my God.
But, you know, one of the things he wanted to do was start streaming more for the people that, you know, were interested in following him, putting out more videos, more content. And I'm starting to think, you know, maybe the money's not being in a competitor. It's being a personality.
I don't know, because then you watch, again, you'd have to really watch. You watch certain games like, oh, shit. You watch certain games like LOL and WoW, and the people, it is the people that are the top tier that are, you know, actually streaming consistently. Like Cedu, shout out to Cedu. He's literally the best restoration shaman in the world. He streams whenever he plays.
Are we talking League of Legends or WoW?
WoW. Wow. Chuck Doolin, a.k.a. Cedu, one of the best WoW players since he was like 16 or 17 years old. And he streams pretty much every time he plays, regardless if he's at the top of the ladder or the middle. And sometimes, yeah, there's like Snoopy streams in LoL every now and then. Sometimes you do get some top tier people, but I guess you're right on the whole, because like a lot of the WoW players don't like to stream because you can just listen to the stream while they're playing and you can just counter everything they do, which is also becoming a big issue of listen to other people's streams when you do stream in competitive scenarios, which screws everybody over. There's no way to stop it or enforce it.
Well, I mean, to counter the notion that it's the top-tier players, certainly top-tier players are going to get a primary focus because they're top-level players. People who strive for that pro level, even just to improve themselves, are going to watch what these players are doing and try to learn something off of it. But people are suckers for personalities, or for personalities, for characters. And I'd like to cite Caseytron, Twitch personality gamer, as a big example for that. I'm going to assume from the silence you have no idea what I'm talking about. Please tell me you know what I'm talking about, James.
Who's that guy?
Oh, dear God. Oh, dear God. Caseytron is a...
You just have to explain it to them because they might not know who it is. You're forgetting that part entirely.
Caseytron is a prominent female gamer who streams her League of Legends exploits. Caseytron is, if her Ask Me Anything on Reddit was any indication, is also known for playing a character on her Twitch TV stream that could be considered a quasi-satire / parody of the female gamer stereotype.
I remember for a short time she did that when League was out. She would in WoW too, and I used to crack up. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. What does this button do? What does my R do? Oh my God!
Yeah, I mean she's an attractive girl who found
controls other people,
and also found a way to market herself on Twitch and make a ton of money doing it. Now, I think when Team Solo Mid, the League of Legends team, were looking for a new player to join their team, Caseytron put in an application. I think it was meant as a... I'm pretty sure it was meant as a joke. I've never seen her play League of Legends. I can't say that. I have seen it barely. I'm not much better at the game, if anywhere close, so it's not like I am of any concept to criticize. Or any place to criticize that, rather.
Concept to criticize better.
Concept to criticize. You know what? Look, I already gave Bells one shout-out. They don't need a second one.
No, they really... That was a third, if you're counting. So, please, if you hear this, send him some beer. I think he deserves it at this point. At least one.
But, I mean, what I'm saying is Casey is by no means a professional gamer. Or at least professional in the sense of competitive.
Yeah.
But she's learned how to tap a different subsect of the gamer player base through her personality, through streaming, or, you know, I know there's going to be some snarky male viewer out there, through her breasts. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, but
again, I mean, it sells. Yeah. It makes money. It sells.
But for true competition, like, the only way to really tell how good somebody is just by watching their spot on the ladder and watching it go up or down, which is really what it is. And certain games like LOL and WoW make it really easy to track people and their skill based off of their wins, because there's no way to force quality of wins when you're only queuing into people at your skill level. You can't go below it. You really can't. It's really hard. It's not like how some games, specifically WoW, had the problem of they finally fixed it a couple expansions ago where you could pad your rating by queuing underneath you or queuing with a new person to reset your MMR. So you could be like a 2800 rated player, queue with somebody who's 1500, and just slaughter 1500 rated people to get all the way to rank one.
That's actually really cheesy.
Yeah, it worked though, which is a crazy thing. And like, again, like, I thought it was funny you didn't mention it, but WoW was like actually one of the OGs of that. It's like, oh, we're going to hold our own tournament with a $250,000 cash pool when they first invented arenas, or like released arenas. And it was this big, crazy idea because, again, like, there's nothing like that before, really. They were like kind of at the forefront 2007 or 2008 when they first did it.
Yeah.
And like, they kind of shot themselves in the foot because like the law had the same problem, where also because it's so hard to get into, it was like a good old boys club and the whole atmosphere, like community, was toxic as hell. If you didn't know top players, you weren't in with the top players, you were just with everybody. That's where the term rat league came from, or dog shit. It's like, oh, you're rat leagues. What's that mean? You're not good. But I am good. I'm like 100-0. Well, until you play with us, you're still rat league. You're not good.
You're nothing. You're scrubbed here.
Yeah, you're scrubbed here. I'm like, for real, like, the community was just really toxic. Because even, like, I remember when Riot actually started putting the admonishments out for top-tier players who were talking down to randoms that they would queue into or queue with, because they would just make fun on the entire game. That's like the only reason why I didn't like the concept of law was, if you were solo queuing, you could literally end up, in the beginning anyway, you could end up with somebody who was so much better than you were, you just looked horrible. And that kind of staunches the flow of, you know, getting getting better and building a reputation. You're like, I can play with you guys, so I'm just as good, because look, I put the time in, I did this all by myself, versus, oh, I lucked into you guys. Wow, I look like an idiot. It'd be like if a high school player, if a middle school player got to play with the Bulls in 96.
Oh, God.
Get on the court. Who am I blocking? You're going to block John Stockton.
Actually, it doesn't matter. You're giving Jordan the ball, and you're going to let Jordan do whatever he wants.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it still kind of works. Like, okay, your goal is to not feed them while we do all the work.
Yeah.
So then you end up getting carried, and you look just as bad. It's like, yeah, I got to play with top-tier players. Yeah, we watched their stream. You just got carried the whole time. But I made that clutch play when I gripped Sona and stopped him from doing something. Doesn't matter, bro. They did most of the work. Aww. I tried really hard.
By the way, while I do have a chance to plug more things, you would think someone is actually paying me. No one really is.
yeah.
I'd
plug
like to
city, bitch.
Yes. We hear it, Team Rocket. We hear the Team Rocket podcast would like to plug one of our favorite streamers, Dacia.
Yes, Dacia.
Smash player out in Ohio. We do implore you all to check out her Twitch stream, twitch.tv/daylightful, DayLightful. I would also like to take a moment to plug an event that she is holding that we did mention back in her interview. If you all want, go back. Feel free to check that interview out. But we would like to plug her event. Class is back. It's being held on April 11th in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, if you live in the Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, even Louisville area, and you have nothing to do, go do it. Go see it. Support her in any way you can.
Yeah, but we would definitely, definitely love you if you guys checked it out. It's a charity event. Money for the event is going towards the ICYO, Inner City Youth Opportunities in Cincinnati. It's a very wonderful thing to contribute to. I implore you all, please, 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 please check it out. It's being held at Arcade Legacy in Cincinnati, Ohio, 600 Cincinnati Mills Drive. By the way, Arcade Legacy is not giving us anything. This is us
They
willingly.
better, shit. I mean, no, it's for a good cause.
This is us plugging something because it's a good cause and it deserves the attention. If you're out in the Cincinnati area or nearby and you want to check out a good video game event, it's actually has a big. It's mainly Smash Brothers. If you're a Smash fan and you want to see
Smash
competitive
Bros.
Smash in action, feel free to check it out. We implore you, if nothing else, stop by Daisha's stream whenever she's streaming. It's a good time.
That said,
Yes.
I don't even know what we're talking about now. Oh yeah, the toxicity in the community that was dead. Yeah.
Really, I thought we were talking about professional gaming. That's what I thought we were talking about.
I was talking. Shit. Well, shut me up. But yeah, anyway, that's the whole thing that I've never, again, really got the concept of is like it's really hard to do. It's to like build up your own credentials and credibility to earn your spot playing with, people who are better than you, or you could just play with your friends until you get good enough.
Although at that point you're only gonna hit a certain point. You're only as, oh God, what's the saying? You are
You're only as
only
smart as the dumbest person in the group. I mean, it's close. It works, kind of.
you're only your potential to be good is you're only as good as your strongest player.
Yeah. I
And if your
mean,
strongest player fucking sucks, that's about as good as you're getting.
that. I mean, nah, I'm not gonna make the reference.
I mean, on paper, that's going to be as good as you're going to get.
No, see,
That's going to be.
look at the 76ers that Iverson played. Man scored 84 points, still lost by himself. Yeah, that's because the rest of the team sucked. But yeah, anyway, I mean, like the whole concept of getting into that is like weird. Like, myself and our mutual friend Alex, as you know, we play Warcraft, right?
Yes.
The last expansion, Alex and I literally could play to literally about the gladiator range. And you know what fucked us every single time?
What's that?
They made it where it was kind of like law, we can queue with anybody you wanted. We would get to the point where we had the MMR for it, and because we didn't have the title from the previous season, people just drop our team and use the rating we got them to get all the way up to where they wanted to go. So you could like piggyback with stuff like that. It's like, oh yeah, we're like one season at the end of last season, we were sitting at like on three or four different characters, we were sitting at like 1900 and playing at like a 2300 MMR. So if we played enough to catch the MMR, your rating just keeps going up. So in theory, with a cutoff for Gladiator at like 2400, we feasibly, if we could have played every single day for like a week, we could have did it. At 50 rating a game, we could have feasibly did it. But that's the other problem is, if you don't have the notoriety we want, we'll just use that to boost us where we want to go because we have the experience, and we'll just go past you, which we kept getting screwed on every time, to the point where Alex quit for a while.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, like
I remember hearing him
he was
rant about World of
so
Warcraft.
mad. I mean, like we had a legitimate gripe. We were almost to the point where we could have actually streamed or played for money, but people would just join the team. Oh, sweet. They'd wreck our rating. We'd go back down to like 1750. They would leave, and the next day we'd armory them. They were like 2400, 2400 plus. Then we'd have to build all the way back up, and they get knocked right back down the next week. It's like, this is, then he was like, this isn't fucking worth it anymore. You just stop playing
That would
for a
drive me
while.
nuts. That would drive me
Yeah.
up all.
I mean, again, that's the problem with competitive stuff is like, if you're not able to boost people instantly or stay where you are, because again, ratings change, you pass rating back and forth. If you can't do it long enough, people just leave.
I mean, the idea is that if you're a good enough player, you're going to be able to maintain that rating.
Yeah, but that was the other thing that made me laugh. So we would armory some people, they would be lower than they were when they left the teams. Like, how did that even work? Clearly, because we were carrying them. But again, it's like, it's really shitty because, like, Alex really has the skill to be like one of the top tier players. If it weren't for the fact that he doesn't have the title of the top tier player and none of the top tier people play with him, other people play with him just to get to that point and then stop playing.
But I was going to say one of the things that I was going to get into, what it takes to be a top tier player, the time, the dedication. Nowadays, if you want to be one of those top tier competitive level players, you want to be one of the guys who are winning, say the League of Legends World Cup, the Dota Championships, the Evo, for example. You're having to put in you're putting in as many hours a day as an actual athlete's putting in. And you're dedicating that much time towards it. This is no longer just a game anymore, by the way. This is now a job. This is meant to be something that is self-sustaining. This is something that is supposed to be a living, much like an actual athlete, because the amount of effort and time you're putting in is the same.
Yeah. It really is.
But then you also have to look at, again, to turn it back full circle, to get this way back on track, you have to look at a guy like Nadeshot, who, by his own admission, number one, he's no longer playing to win, he's just playing not to lose. And, it doesn't, if what it sounds like he's getting money was maybe 2K, 5K, I don't know. And if assuming you're playing with teammates, you're dividing that up, maybe the money's not as worth it. He's clearly having to work a full-time job to sustain himself. Now, maybe the full-time job obviously is paying him a lot more than video games are. So it makes you wonder if you're a decent player. And again, I stress this made Yahoo's front page. This is one of those things that wouldn't stick out to me if it weren't for that. Like, this didn't pop up on like Kotaku or certainly I didn't see it on Kotaku. Maybe it popped up on something like oh God, Destructoid or something. When you have a prominent player who's still resorting to, working the proverbial 9-to-5 grind to keep himself sustained, that tells you there's something off kilter there. For that matter, when you consider the fact that there are, more personality-based streamers like Casey-tron who are able to make just as much of a living, if not more so, being a personality than being, say, someone who is a font of knowledge. What does that tell you about that particular approach as a whole? If you, as a competitive gamer, say you're at the top echelon of whatever you're playing, we'll say you and I used to play DDR competitively. And I mean, we were okay on a regional level at best. I'm willing to accept that. But let's say I was top tier. And let's say the competitive DDR scene at its top tier could make me a yearly average of $10,000. Okay, that's not a lot. That's not even a lot based on my normal job. Now, what if you have an X person over here who streams themselves playing dancing games? Just playing whatever is popped up on just whatever song that they've dug up off the internet on their little home setup. But they have a certain personality type to them that draws people in, and they're getting viewers and donations that are bringing in upwards of 50,000 a year.
Yeah, that's totally possible. Like Soda Poppin comes to mind too. He's like one of the top WoW streamers, and he doesn't really stream anything major other than him like having his own little adventures in the game. Even though he's one of the top like PvPers, he never streams himself PvP and just him doing goofy shit.
I mean, if you could make, again, five times the money there, doing arguably more casual stuff, but you're more being a personality than you are a competitor,
Yeah, I mean,
where's
it works the same way.
what does
It's
that
like,
say about the money? Where's the money at on that one?
I mean, think of it this way. Think of some of the sport. I think again, ties back into normal sports. Think about how some players will retire early to just do commentary, either the local station or on ESPN or Fox Sports or NBC Sports, because their personality is such that it sustains them as if they were still playing sports, because they're actually more profitable talking about sports than playing sports.
I mean, here's another case example that builds off of that. It's exactly what you said. I became a football fan a few years back. You know this.
Yes, I do.
Became. By the way, go Patriots, go Tom Brady.
Got lucky. Shit won't happen again.
It's whatever. There was a former NFL punter for the Minnesota Vikings by the name of Chris Clouie. Clouie, according to the book that he wrote, Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies, which, by the way, it's
I need to
a
read that just
book
from the
with a
title.
very good book, a lot of nice essays, short stories in it. He mentioned in one of his particular, it was a letter to another player, a former tight end turned commentator. He mentioned that, he played several full seasons and broke a lot of the team records for punting on the Vikings. Now, I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
Chris Cluey, obviously, was they he listed including the median salary that an NFL player made. He mentioned that he made a little bit above that.
Yeah.
So I will say well over six figures.
Yeah. Just to be in the practice squad is 250K.
No, 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 no. This wasn't even – well, I mean, he wasn't in practice squad. He was a professional player.
Yeah, that's still – never mind. That's another argument for another day.
The funny thing is, Cluey's Twitter account name, if I'm not mistaken, is Chris Warcraft.
Really?
Chris Cluey is a huge nerd.
Yeah.
Chris Cluey has been a prominent spokesperson for the civil rights for, you know, especially the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered movement. You know, he's very, you know, anti-discrimination. He's, you know, the term social justice warrior gets thrown around a lot, and it does kind of have a certain level of mockery to the in that definition. But if you could use that term genuinely with the intent that I think it's meant to have, Cluey would be it.
Yeah.
And I like Chris Cluey, for the record. I think he's a sweet dude. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Little full on himself, but he's a cool guy. At least he seems like it based on his writing. I could be wrong. He could be a total knob tosser. But yeah. Hey, aren't we all? Cluey was recently, last season, you know, he did not get signed to a team. The Vikings cut him. I think the Oakland Raiders had him for a little bit, and then they went with another punter. I think it was a lot of money-related stuff. So Cluey is no longer an active NFL player. Cluey put out a book, though. Again, beautifully unique Sparkle Ponies. He has his own band. Clearly, he's living comfortably enough, and he's taking care of himself, and he hasn't done anything stupid or reckless with what he's made, that he can afford to do this, and he can afford to put his opinions out there on his Twitter account. He's actually a really big proponent against... he's a big proponent on the Gamergate topic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether to say he's pro or anti Gamergate. I want to say he doesn't like what that whole movement fucking bothers me, for the record, trying to figure out where that thing's going. Suffice to say, Cluey feels that anyone who are running females out of the gaming industry and, you know, making the gaming industry a place where women and various others can't feel accepted, he's against that. We should be taking it, and that's what he stands for, and I respect that. I agree with him. Actually, but I have to wonder, you know, since leaving the NFL, how much is he now making being a personality? Like, not being an actual competitor, but a personality within, and this is within gaming. This isn't even within the confines of NFL. For example, never mind that. Take your, take your normal sports personalities who do retire from the game. Look, Tebow.
Tebow. He's probably making more than he would have.
He's now a college football analyst.
Yeah. He's probably making more money. He works less hours. He can do pretty much whatever he wants, as long as it's not something too outrageous where he gets fired for saying something stupid.
Yeah, I doubt that. I doubt that'll happen with Tebow.
We'll see. But you get what I'm saying. Like, he lives comfortably, might be making like slightly less, but I would, like, if I had a job, somebody offered me a job of doing what, okay. So you have two options. You can have your exact dream job, but it's way more work and it's harder than you thought it would ever be. Or you could have a dream, you could have a job that you really like, that you're good at, it pays less, but you have more freedom. What would you rather do?
I would definitely take the freedom, certainly.
Exactly. I mean, I think it boils down to that, because, like, he had every right and all the gumption, like, okay, well, if I can't do that, then I'll do something else that I'm equally good at and have the freedom to be myself and actually do what I want to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it would work either way, because, like, if somebody was like, okay, so here's your dream job, but it sucks, or you could do this, have more freedom, I would take the freedom over my dream job, like you said. It's like, man, this is what I always wanted, but If I have to do it on your terms or not at all, I'd rather do it not at all and just
I
do
mean, that was actually a thing. You know, he wanted to be in the NFL, but he wanted to do it as a quarterback. They don't want Tebow as a quarterback. He's like, well, I feel I can do this as a quarterback. I'm not going to take any position other than what I feel I can adequately do.
Even though, I'm not gonna lie, I would have killed to see Tebow as a tight end.
Oh, he would have been great as a tight end. I feel like
Anyway, we're so far off the point now. Oh my God.
we have gone off the rails
So
tonight.
here's how you get
Jeez
into
Louise.
competitive football. Start when you're six like I did and play until you're about 19.
Or until you get a concussion, then stop.
And then stop. Yeah. Play until
And
you
then get into professional gaming because that won't give you a concussion. You'll just end up throwing controllers against a wall in frustration
you're
and
fucking
screaming at kids on Xbox Live or screaming at kids on Twitch or
Screaming kids on Twitter. There's just a
or
lot of screaming.
sending inflammatory messages on League of Legends.
Yeah, just do what you like to do and don't
And then
take shit from anybody.
realize that you can make more money streaming on Twitch acting like a complete fucking moron and handling yourself up, and you'll make six times the money without like any of the bullshit behind it.
Yeah, I mean, so it never gets you to the dance. It's like the other prominent thing when
That was probably like a really awful way of wording that.
it
But if
really It's true. It's
what it
very
really
true.
comes down to, the whole point of this, professional gaming, it does seem lucrative, and it does, and certainly there's a future there, but that's going to be for, again, the top 5%
Oh, yeah.
of that game in that field. You know, clearly there are good players who aren't making the money they should be. If you're having to work, if you are dedicating yourself to this fully as though this is as though you're going to use this as a living, and you're not, and you still have to work a full-time job to support yourself, there's a problem there.
But in terms of this competitive gaming, like if you really want to get into it, there are a lot of, just for fun, just back on the hobby part of it, there are a lot of ways you can do it. One of which is going to small tournaments or conventions, like how we used to do.
Yeah.
Seek them out. There's a lot of games that actually are a little bit better for getting into. Like for one, Warcraft, even though it's still has some retarded balance issues because it has an issue. I'll just run them down real quick. WoW has the issue of, because it's more, there's two sides of WoW. There's PvP and there's PvE. In order to keep everything quote unquote balanced, things get nerfed a lot, which means you could be toppy tier and then like a patch later you're at the bottom and there's like a new meta where rogues are OP and you want to play a rogue and any team without a rogue is going to lose. AKA right fucking now. AKA Link, I'm looking at you. I'm gonna like spam your Twitter again. And then you have the aspect of it where gearing is pretty simple, but for the first week or two, you're gonna bang your head on the wall because you're fighting people with less skill, but they have better gear than you, which is always a negative. Then there's games like League, Dota, and Smite where you just start fully geared, and as you play the game, you level up or your team levels up, and you just pick talents as you go, which again still suffers from the concepts of meta. And again, still the whole idea of the community is kind of a closed door, unless you have friends to play with just to learn at the very least, even if your friends are better. Hopefully
And
they're
I
better.
mean, but even then, that's such a. I mean, you've got to hope you don't have a toxic community. Actually, that is the one thing I will say that I like about the fighting game community. You know, you can say a lot of things online, but that big tournament scene is in real life.
Yeah.
You have to. Whoever you've talked shit about,
So you're gonna have to see them face to face.
there's a distinct possibility you will have to play next to them at some point.
Yeah, I mean, mostly like that's the one thing I liked about the fighting community and the dance game community was like it was less toxic, which really is kind of hard because the internet in itself is just a toxic wasteland of stupid. But just the whole concept, like you said, eventually you're gonna have to sit next to somebody, and a lot of beef gets squashed early.
Yeah.
And the games are pretty much hard coded to be pretty much tiered very well, and the tiering system pretty much comes from solely, again, like I said earlier, the fans. The fans are the ones that say, well, unless you're playing vanilla Street Fighter 4, then Sagat, Ken, everybody else is dog shit.
Actually, Sagat and Ryu, top tier.
Yes, my bad, Sagat and Ryu.
Vanilla Street Fighter 4, Sagat and Ryu, top tier.
Toppy tier. But yeah, everything else is just like complete dog shit. But yeah, and then like everything else competitive wise, there's some other smaller games that we all know or some of us know. Smash Brothers comes to mind, which has no place in competitive play at all, and I'll keep fighting that or saying that forever. fuck Final Destination. I want to play on the Ice Climbers, though. So bad.
Shout out to Ice Climbers.
Shout out Ice Climbers. RIP. Ice Climbers Axis. They're not there anymore. And then my personal favorite, one of my personal favorites, I have a lot of favorites, Pokemans. Still a thing. Pokemon Showdown. The only problem with that is that the rule set for Pokemon Showdown is entirely made by fans. And a small group of fans called Smogon, who completely screwed the pooch when 6th Gen came out. I hate you guys so hard, if any of you are listening. All of you. Pokemon Cartel, I hate you.
You know what? I feel like our first official podcast that we have recorded that's on that we would have on iTunes. The rest of our stuff you can access on iTunes, but this is the first post-iTunes podcast. I feel like we've gone so off the fucking rails.
We've gone so, yeah, this is, I blame you. You're the one that started talking about, see, you're doing it again, damn it.
I put us off the rails. It was me. It was all me. It was me, Austin. It was me. It was me all along, Austin.
Seriously, I put us back on track. You take us back off the track.
I did.
And on that note, like, if you're listening on iTunes, please don't take us off iTunes. It's Jesse's fault. Take him off iTunes. Let
James be the personality and let me be the one to make all that sweet, delicious iTunes Twitch money off of it.
Yeah, you would do that.
It'd be nice.
If that's not a stereotype, I've ever heard it. I do all the work, the way money. Of course, that would be the dynamic of it. We've come full circle. Full fucking circle. And the truth comes out.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you, Stern. I'm going to call you Stern from now on.
Anyway, Stern. Why Stern?
Who owned the Clippers, Jesse?
Oh my god. Sterling?
Sterling. Why did I say
Donald
Stern?
Sterling?
I think I'm drunk now.
Daniel Stern, or I think that...
It's Sterling. Sterling. I'm going to
call you Stern. Well, no, the NBA commissioner's last name is like Stern or something, I want to say.
Yeah, anyway.
You're not far off.
Yeah, we've come full circle. I do all the work, you get all the money. Yeah.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn, we're getting kicked off iTunes. We are so getting fucking kicked off iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, like, anyway, so to wrap this up... In a more PC way, there is a list of games you can get into for competitive play that are amazing, and you can play with your friends.
Actually, League of Legends is a surprisingly good one. It's free to play.
Free to play.
I mean, you can't argue with free to play, and it actually has a honest to God heavy player base. So there's a lot of resources out there that you can use to better yourself. If you're more into first person shooters. Halo, Call of Duty, I mean, those are easily accessible games, certainly.
Yeah, there are a lot of games you can try to get into competitively.
Yep. I would say MMO arena style play, WoW is still king. That's never going to change.
It's not. Like, just because, like, again, it's like Street Fighter 2. There are only 10 character classes that you could play. I was about to bring that up about LoL. There's, like, the only downside that can be intimidating about LoL is learning what character to play, then how to build what character. WoW is you level to 100, you pick one of three classes. Oh no, you pick one of three talent trees per class, and you just pick the 12 talents you want and you roll. It's pretty easy. Every class, it's stun, fear, disorient, polymorph, and then banish. That's all you have to deal with. It's like, okay, so warlock fears and it stuns and it banishes. So I can't play with this person because of DRs, and I can play with this person, and I can do this. And WoW is like such a – originally had a really cool flow of it too, because it was like you could literally take three of the lower tier classes in BC when arenas were introduced. And you know what's funny about the three lower tier classes?
What's that?
They made the most overpowered composition in the game back in the day because none of their CCs DR'd. It was Rogue, Mage, Priest.
Oh,
Priest,
wow.
Fear, Rogue, Stun, Mage, Polymorph. None of the DR. Two of the CCs were more or less spammable. So it's like, okay, so I'm running the Fear, and then you can blind this guy, then you can stun this guy, then you can incapacitate this guy, and then the Mage is going to sheep this guy. And they would just CC you till you died. Their damage was average, their survivability was average.
I was going to say, you're not making me feel good about playing WoW, bro.
It's literally like, I mean, that's how it worked. It's like, okay. I mean, it's got a little weird lately because, like, everybody, for a while, everybody could do everything. Everybody had a stun. Everybody had two paladin could fear people at one point. I'll put it to you like that.
Oh, jeez.
It got to a point where like you needed it, otherwise paladin were obsolete. It's like, well, paladin can stun once every 45 seconds. A rogue can stun every 12. A death knight can stun every 12. A warrior can stun every 15. And whenever they do, they're just like opener ability, they stun you. Paladin needs something. But it's a pretty easy game to get into. Sadly, it's $15 a month, and you just gotta
And
play
no.
until you get good.
If you're like me and you like fighting games, obviously Ultra Street Fighter 4 is a great one to get into.
Ultra is amazing. Then PlayStation.
Amazing, but you can't really fail on that. It's the balance is good enough. You also have, if you're more into the anime style stuff, you definitely have Blaze Blue, Guilty Gear, Exerd, even Persona 4, Ultimax.
Yeah, there's some amazing stuff. But you have anything else to say, Jesse, that's actually on track?
I think this is one of those days where this particular episode may sadly be a tad bit of a wash.
Just re-record it and then make this
Eh,
other
no,
hit
no, we're gonna go
nobody.
with it. We're actually gonna do another episode again this week. We're gonna be actually covering survival horror games. James, this is actually James's forte. I am horrible with the all survival horror games, so this is gonna be a lot of James discussing that, giving his input. I'm probably gonna keep my fucking mouth shut during that entire,
You derail me, boy. That's gonna be your ass.
I'll just tell you how much I hate fucking tank controls. That's what it'll be.
I hate tank controls because
Fucking hate them.
I
They're
don't
the
get the
fucking worst.
concept of right to turn right and rotating all the way right, but I get it. I get it.
By the
I
way,
can't put them either.
anyway, before we go, again, shout outs to Balmung on 14. That
Thanks,
is
sir.
again Balmung on Fantasy 14. Shout outs to Daisha and her event. Again, if you all are listening, class is back. Cincinnati, Ohio. It's for fucking charity. Do the right thing. Go. Donate. Don't be a scumbag.
Do not be a scumbag. Nobody likes
Visit her stream.
that. Donate her monies.
Yes.
So many monies. All of
Because
the monies.
that money's going towards a good cause.
Yes, it
And
is.
we here at the Team Rocket podcast firmly support good causes.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
So do.
Mark Man, hook me up.
Shout out to Mad Cats, Razor, Origin PC, and anybody that could give us stuff that would make our life a lot easier.
Oh my God. We're whores. We really are.
Such horrors, yeah. I mean, for hours. You know what? Just give me a computer that says Origin on it. I don't even care.
For the record, we here in Kentucky, in the Louisville area, we got hit with flood weather badly in the past week. You know what? If a flood just wants to wash my computer away and someone wants to send me a new computer, I buy power. So someone, y'all want to send me a new PC, I'd be glad for that. I'd be okay with that. I know that's not going to happen. I know no one actually gives a shit. We are fucking terrible.
And on that note, Jesse,
On that.
I'm James. Jesse has gone to the point of belligerence. Please don't kick us off iTunes. I need something to do with my free time. I love you all. Thank you for listening and getting us on iTunes so we inevitably get kicked off. But I start my own podcast where Jesse just, no, I'm just going to get a Jesse soundboard for my podcast. And yeah, we'll roll from there.
That's a great idea. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Team Rocket Podcast. We will be back again Thursday with our survival horror episode. Until then, I'm Jesse, this is James, and we are blasting off again.
Don't give Jesse beer, please, for the love of Jesus.
Beer. Shout outs to Bell's Special Double Cream Ale.
No more shouts, dude.
Stout, stout.
No.
Fuck.
Cream stout. You go.
No. All right. Good night, you all.